ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ
नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय यावत् औत्पाटिको लिष्टो व्रजं नाभि भवेत् इथा तावत् बालं उपादाय यस्यामो न्यत्र सानुगा यावद् औपाचिको रिष्टो व्रजं नाभि भवेत् इथा तावत् बालान् उपादाय यस्यामो न्यत्र सङ्गुणा यावत् So long. Aupatika. Disturbing. Arishta. The demon. Rajam. This Gokula. Rajabhumi. Na. Not. Adhibhavet. Ita. Go away from this place. Tava. So long. Balan. Upadaya. For the benefit of the boys. Yasyama. We shall go. Anyatra. Somewhere else. Sa'anuga. With our followers. Sri Sukadev Goswami continued. Then one time, having seen the great disturbances in Brihadvan, all the elderly persons among the cowherd men headed by Nanda Maharaj assembled and began to consider what to do to stop the continuous disturbing situations in Braj. At this meeting of all the inhabitants of Gokula, a cowherd man named Upananda, who was the most mature in age and knowledge, and was very experienced according to time, circumstances, and country, made this suggestion for the benefit of Rama and Krishna. He said, My dear friends, the cowherd men, in order to do good to this place, Gokula, we should leave it, because so many disturbances are always occurring here, just for the purpose of killing Rama and Krishna. The child Krishna, simply by the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, was somehow or another rescued from the hands of the Rakshasi Putana, who was determined to kill him, that again, by the mercy of the Supreme Godhead, the handcart missed falling upon the child. Then again, the demon Trinavarta, in the form of a whirlwind, took the child away into the dangerous sky to kill him. But the demon fell down onto a slab of stone. In that case also, by the mercy of Lord Vishnu or his associates, the child was saved. Even the other day, neither Krishna nor any of his playmates died from the falling of the two trees, although the children were near the trees or even between them. This also is to be considered the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. All these incidents are being caused by some unknown demons. Therefore, before he comes here to create another disturbance, it is our duty to go somewhere else with the boys until there are no more disturbances. Purport. Upananda suggested, quote, By the mercy of Lord Vishnu, Krishna has always been saved from so many dangerous incidents. Now let us leave this place and go somewhere else where we may worship Lord Vishnu undisturbed, before there is another cause of death from some demon who may attack us. Unquote. A devotee desires only that he may execute devotional service undisturbed. Actually, we see, however, that even during the presence of Krishna, when Nanda Maharaj and the other cowherd men had the Supreme Personality of Godhead in their presence, There were disturbances. Of course, in every case, Krishna came out victorious. The instruction we may derive from this is that we should not be disturbed by so-called disturbances. There have been so many disturbances in our Krishna consciousness movement, but we cannot give up our forward march. On the contrary, people are receiving this movement very enthusiastically all over the world, and they are purchasing literature about Krishna consciousness with redoubled energy. Thus, there are both encouragements and disturbances. This was so even in Krishna's time. So, this principle of disturbance, that there should be no disturbance, then this comes up from the mood of enjoyment and from the mood of impersonalism. Because the person who is enjoying, a disturbance means the enjoyment is stopped. And so that is the problem. Enjoyment stops, so it's a disturbance. For the impersonalist, then some disturbance comes up in the form of some emotion, relationship, something that you have to attend to, something you have to deal with somebody. So because of that, then it's a disturbance. So the idea is that there should be no disturbances. Right? This is the idea. But we see here in Krishna's pastime, so many disturbances are there. And that's part of the fun. Because the disturbances are connected with Krishna. That's the main thing. Is if we see the activities we're doing are connected with Krishna, then the disturbances are not such a great disturbance. One can move on. One can go forward. Because disturbances happen. It's the way the way the material energy is. It just means disturbance. Because there's an idea that I will be happy forever. And I will enjoy forever. But being happy forever, enjoying forever, doesn't match with I have to work for that enjoyment. See, that's the thing, is that the cause of enjoyment is austerity. So if there's austerity, the results will be enjoyment. Facility, encouragement, all these different things. Whatever we consider good in this world is the result of austerity. So while there's austerity, you cannot have your enjoyment. And while there's enjoyment, you can't be performing austerity. So then the difficulty comes is, material world means there's always going to be disturbances, because you can't have both at the same time. You can't have your enjoyment all the time, and you can't have what causes the enjoyment. Right? You cannot be on a holiday somewhere and at the same time be sitting in your office making your money. Right? What money you have, you can go on vacation. When the money's up, you come back and go to work. So when you're at work, it's not fun, and when you're on vacation, you make no money. You can't have them both at once. That's the way the world's set up. People, of course, try. You know, oh no, no, I'll do my business, I'll take my mobile phone, my computer, I'll do my business while I'm on the holiday. But that means you're not holidaying. You're on your computer, you're on your phone. Right? And right when you're sitting there in the spa, then the phone rings, and then they say, this, oh, you know, you can't do it. Are you sitting down, nice thing, just to dinner? Then they call up, oh, you got to attend it, there's an emergency. Where's the enjoyment? So there is no such thing as the two at one time. They don't go together. So that's the material platform. So only on the spiritual platform, then they go together. Because there it's just pastimes, right? Krishna doesn't have to work for his food. Right? He doesn't have to, it's all there. So because of that, his facilities are always there, because he is the cause of his facilities. And his devotees who are surrendered to him, they also are having all these same facilities. So because of that, then they're happy, they're enjoying, like that. And disturbances are just created to enhance the enjoyment. Right? If you're always happy, you get bored. Right? People, because they're suffering, then they think, no, no, I would be happy forever. No. Like that. One devotee was telling me they saw this one, program. It had this particular theme to it.
that this man, he was running. He was a thief. And he was running away from the police or something. And he was escaping, climbed this wall. And as he was climbing the wall, then there was sound of a gunshot. And then he fell off the other side on the ground. So, and then when he, you know, fell on the ground there, then, you know, he didn't realize that he had been killed. Right? So he landed on the ground there. And then these, all these beautiful young girls came and helped him up off the ground. Are you okay? And all that. He thought, wow, what's this place? You know, I've been down this alley a million times. I never bumped into this place. Right? And then they said, you know, okay, you know, what do you want to do? You know, and they say, where, you know, what's, you know, you want to do some, what is, whatever he would mention, he would get. Anything. Anything you wanted to eat, anything you wanted to wear, anything you wanted to do, you know, and becoming, because he was a sinful person and he wanted to get it, got into gambling, you know, and that. And every time, whenever he'd throw the dice, he'd win. Every time at the roulette, he'd win. Every time he'd win. Everything. And he's just thinking, this is the greatest thing he's ever had. Right? Life's there, you know, whatever he wanted to eat, all these ladies are bringing for. Everything's going perfectly. Whatever he wanted, he got. No problem. Then after about 2 weeks, he started to get really bored because anything he wanted happened. You know, there was nothing else. You know, even if he wanted something bad to happen, it happened because he wanted. So then he started to get really frustrated because, you know, there was no variety. It was all under his control. So then he turned to one of these ladies and said, you know, he understood by this time that he had died and everything and all that. He turned to one of those ladies and he says, I didn't think heaven would be like this. And then the lady with a little smile on her face said, who said this was heaven? So we see is that this idea is only Krishna, because he's unlimited, then there's always something more. So he can fulfill all his desires, and there's another quality, there's another aspect that hasn't been fulfilled, because he's unlimited. But with us, we're limited. You know, how long does it take till we've done everything, been there, done that, then we get bored. So, just to create fun in his own pastimes, then Krishna creates this, difference in the pastimes. It means something is nice because you can compare it to something less nice. Right? That's what's there. Something is good because you had something that is like that, and you've also had things that are less. And if you had something that's better, then you say it's nice, but, you know, there's something more. So then you can compare. Right? So that's the whole thing. If something has too much salt, it should have less salt. If something doesn't have enough salt, it should have more salt. So the middle is the right place. So the middle is appreciated because there is such a thing as too much salt and not enough salt. So the right amount of salt is appreciated. So that's, so in the pastimes, Krishna for fun creates all these things because he is everything. So that means all the varieties are there. So then he makes these things and it creates nice interaction, because the whole point is interaction. These things create interaction. When the Lord performs this pastime, the demons come and the devotees think of him more. Because they think of him more, he thinks of them more. So it just increases the pastimes. Then when they come back together, then they're so happy that he's back, then they think of him again more. So like this, it just goes back and forth between this being together and not. So then so many varieties of ways to be together, so many varieties of ways to be separated. So like this, Krishna creates all these different things. So for him it's fun, because he is God. He is unlimited. Problem comes is when we want to be God, it's not so fun, because we can't, either we're frustrated because we can't get what we want, or we have what we want and we get bored. So in either case, there's a problem. So in Krishna consciousness, then we shouldn't be disturbed, because what we're dealing with is we're dealing with two planes at the same time. We're dealing with the transcendental platform. We're dealing with the mundane platform. So now the trick is we deal with the mundane platform with the consciousness of the transcendental. means we know how the mundane platform works, so we work it that way. You know, it's just like you have a machine, you know, you have a blender. So then, you know if you plug it into the wall, it works. You don't plug it into the wall, it doesn't work. It's not that, well, this is Krishna's blender, so why should I have to plug it into the wall? You know, this is mundane. You know, we're transcendental. We're above all these rules and regulations of plugging it into the wall. I mean, you can go on all day like this, but the point is, until you plug it in, it won't work. So we have to plug it in. And then when you plug it in, you have to push the right button. You know, you have to put the stuff in the top. You can't, okay, here are the blades, and then just take the apple and put it straight on top of the blades and then expect to get something nice. No, you have to put the container on top, put the apple inside, then it'll start to work. And then if you don't put the lid, it'll work, but then your ceiling will enjoy the results, not you. Like that. So many things are there you have to do. So the devotee knows that. They know the material energy works like this. So because it works like this, then you get the benefit. The difference is the karmi's doing it for his own purpose, so therefore he enjoys the suffers. But the devotee does it for Krishna. So that's the transcendental aspect. So this is the elusive aspect of spiritual life and the elusive aspect of material life. Materialists can't figure out why it's not working. The spiritualists can't figure out why it's not working. Because each is working at the exclusion of the other. The karmi, spiritual things get in the way. They're restricted. They don't help you attain your goal, because I'm going from point A to point B, and the route is the straightest possible line. Right? Isn't it? Isn't that the best way to get anywhere? Like, I want to get from here, over, to the, to the temple there. So I should just be able to go right straight through this wall, right through the jolly work there, over that tree, knock over the coconut tree, break right straight through the wall, and then I'm standing there right next to Prabhupada. Then I offer my obeisances, right? Isn't it? That's the best possible way. Sounds nice, be practical, like that, be straightforward, not get encumbered, not get caught up, don't get mental, all these different things. But it's not necessarily the way things work, right? Having the body that we're making, it's much easier to go around, right? Theoretically, it looks great on a piece of paper. I put here, X, where I want to go, X, and just, go straight through. But I have to take into consideration of what I'm dealing with and what's the best way to deal with what I'm dealing with, right? So like that, we have to see how it functions. So that is why the spiritualists have problems. Because the material energy constantly gives them trouble. Because they ignore the material energy. And the materialists, they just want to do things like this without taking into consideration the subtler aspects of what material energy is based on. Right? Gross comes from subtle. Because of our mind, we've thought in a particular way. We've had a particular desire. Because of that, we've got this particular body. Then, so if that's the case, then if we want to deal with the body, we have to understand the mind. Now, how did the mind get there? Well, that's because of our ego, our identity, how we identify ourselves. Okay, so then if we go to that platform, then what's the real ego? So then that takes us across into transcendence. So then we see that if we, from our platform, want to deal with transcendence, then we have to deal with transcendence, we have to deal with our identity, we have to deal with our mind. Then we can deal with the body. So that's work. So the spiritualists work only with the intelligence and the spirit. Right? And the ego. They ignore the mind and the body. And the karmis, they deal with the mind and the body, and ignore what's above. But we see devotional service, if you want to work, you have to bridge the whole place. You can't stand on this side or that, you have to go the whole thing. That's Krishna's path. He says there's one path. Problem is, if someone takes this part of the path, someone takes that part of the path. When you take the whole path, then it works. So then that is then what is done. Then the difficulties aren't the problem. Because then we see is, what are the difficulties addressing? Right? One person's difficulty is not a difficulty for someone else. Why? Because the conditioned nature is different. So it's only a difficulty to us because it's addressing, it is touched, a point that is delicate. Right? Right? If your arm is fine, you touch it, it doesn't hurt. But if you have a bruise there, you touch it, it hurts. So that's the way, is that if it bothers you, it's because there's a delicate point there in the subtle nature. Right? There's something delicate there. There's something that's getting in our way. It's getting in the way of our senses, our intelligence, our desires, our identity. Right? If you check, any problem is working on that platform. So that's all. So then, if we see that, okay, so that's there. Now, if we just deal with this much, it'll always be a problem. You have to go to the other side. Keeping this side. You have to go to the spiritual. You have to go to, I am servant of Krishna. Now, just by adding that one thing, I am servant of Krishna, that means it adjusts the mundane ego. Okay, if I'm servant of Krishna. Okay, so then that means anything below that has to be manifest from I am servant of Krishna. Then we go down to the intelligence, which includes the senses and the mind. Then that means if I'm servant of Krishna, that means my desires have to be in line with service to Krishna. That means the methods that I go about in my life have to be offerable to Krishna. That means then the way I deal with my body has to also be connected to what is pleasing to Krishna. Then the whole thing comes into line. So that is the elusive aspect. Is that there's this idea spiritual means, oh, it's not like this. I don't do any of these things anymore. But that's the impersonalist concept. Spiritual life is different from material life. Right? And for the materialists, they don't even notice that there is something higher. But the devotee knows both. I'm in this material energy, I'm in this conditioned nature, so I have to serve Krishna. So what am I going to serve Him with other than my conditioned nature? But what we do with the conditioned nature, we don't leave it as it is. We take what's pure about it, what's useful, what's the essence of it, and engage it. Right? That's it. That's what we see here. Mother Yashoda, that's what she's done. Right? Krishna's been playing there all day. He's dirty. All his friends are looking nice because they haven't been dragging around, you know, mortars and knocking down trees. So they're still looking okay. Right? Krishna's covered with dust and dirt and everything like that. So then she knows the nature of boys. So she's saying, oh, hey, all these other boys are decorated nicely by their mothers. So then, you know, don't you want to come home, take your bath, take your lunch, and then also be decorated nicely, then you can come out and play again. So she knows the nature of the boys. So then she is speaking in that way. Right? Now, where did that nature come from? That's mentioned in the Shastra. Those are all established in the Shastra and the tradition. So then she is using that to get her work done. Here, it is for Krishna, because she's dealing directly with Krishna. But for those here, one deals in that way because that's how Krishna says it should be done. So then, it's connected to Krishna. So there's nothing that can't be connected with Krishna. Even the most ordinary things in our day-to-day life, they're all connectable to Krishna. But we just have to try to either always remember Krishna or inform ourselves about what is the Shastra and the tradition. Then we know how to act. So it's a field. It means you want to play ball, you have to go in a field. Right? You can't play ball anywhere. You can't go into the closet and play, oh, you can play closet ball or something like that. You know, it's like, you know, how you say, after it's gone, bounced off the walls 10 times, ricocheted 10 times, and you get a point, you know, like that. So, You could play, I guess, closet ball like that. I'm not sure it'll happen when your mother finds you like that, but, you know, could be fun. But you have to go into the appropriate field. Like that. So that field, then you can't say, okay, by playing football in a football field, you're restricted. Oh, we have all these little lines here, and we have these funny posts at the end, and you know, we can't just kick the ball anywhere we want, and you know, all these different things. No, you go there because you want to play ball. You want to play that game. You want to play another game, you use a different field. So whatever field you want, you use that, right? You wouldn't use a Scrabble board for playing chess. Right? It wouldn't work so good, you know? Like that. Oh, sorry, your pawn's finished. You didn't know how to spell. You know? See, I sent my pawns to school. They all know how to spell, you know. Of course, my bishops, they got a problem. But, you know, we'll work on that. There's only two of them. So the field is not a restriction. That's the thing. Is the field isn't restricted. If you know what the field is for and what you'll get from it. So that means if we understand what the Vedic literatures are for, what the Vedic culture is for, it's not restricted. It is actually the field in which what we want we can get done. That's the science. But you can only know this if you know both fields. You know the karma, you know the jnana, you know the bhakti. So if you know the material and the spiritual together, then the conditioned soul can play ball and get out of here. Otherwise, we get stuck here. Because our dealings aren't complete. Right? It means if you want to dissolve something, like let's say if we want to make a pot clean, you can't just wash the inside, neglect the outside, and say it's clean. You have to clean them both. So unless you deal with both the spiritual and the material, then it won't work. Naturally you'll get something. The inside is clean. Or the outside is clean. But the goal is to get the whole pot clean. So once you've cleaned it, and then you're showing it off to everybody, and everybody's going, hey, no, but the inside's still dirty. No, but why aren't you inspired? Why are you looking at the bad side? Why can't you be positive? Why can't you notice how nicely clean is the outside? It says, yeah, that's nice, but since you're in the kitchen to wash the whole pot, you've only done half a job. But at least you should appreciate half a job. No, that's nice, it's half a job's great, but since the description is a clean pot, you know, and pot includes both, until you clean the whole pot, we're not going to pat you on the back. You know? But according to, you know, modern, you know, political correctness, you know, I should be patted on the back for just having agreed to wash the pot. You know? I haven't even gone into the kitchen. I just agreed, and I should be getting accolades, and people should be calling me up, and everything should be happening. You know, like that. And, you know, and every time I see someone, they should smile at me. Oh, you're the one that agreed to wash the pots, aren't you? And like this, and then I'm invited to parties, and I get facility, and, you know, and I get, you know, all these different things, and this should go on eternally. But the reality is no. When you get in the kitchen, you finish washing the pots, then people say, hey, nice job done. But unfortunately, that's old school, right? You know, new school is without doing anything, I should get the credit, right? So this is ignorance. Old school knows if you work, you get results. New school thinks, without work, I'm going to get results. But that's ignorance. That's foolishness. Because nowhere in the world does it work like that. Nowhere in the universe. It just doesn't work like that. You know, Krishna says, even when he comes here, he is God, he works. Right? He doesn't have to, but he does anyway. Because everybody else has to, and if he didn't, then they'd all think, well, he doesn't. He's the boss. You know? Like that. So then, that's the system. So if one understands and accepts that, then it opens up the whole field, the field of activities. Then you know how to deal with everything in the material world for Krishna. Right? And then what is useful and what's not. Okay, this ego is not useful. Okay, this ego that I'm the controller and enjoyer, okay, not so useful. Okay, so we leave that one. Okay, that I'm in this particular body. Okay, we're masculine. Okay, so then that's useful because people are going to see that. They don't just see this little 1/10,000th, the tip of the hair, as brilliant as the sun, you know, floating down the road. They see, you know, a guy in his dhoti, you know, walking down the road. Okay, so then that's a useful identity. So therefore, for social convention, I'm going to accept that and I'm going to deal with others in that way. Okay, now then, what is the age? Okay, that age, then I should deal appropriately according to that age. I won't deal like a 3-year-old if I'm 50, right? And if, you know, like that. And the 3-year-old won't deal like the 50 because they're 3. Right? So then we take that. Okay, then I have this kind of mind. Okay, it works on religious principles. Okay, so then I should take up things that deal with religious principles. So I should do administration, management, things that have to be done according to what's right. Or I have a mind that works on, you know, knowledge. So then I should study knowledge, teach knowledge. Or I have a mind that whatever it is, it don't matter what it is, I just see money. So then make money. Right? Or everything is an expression of some art form. If something is an expression of the emotion, like that, then that's taken. Okay, so then I'll work with that. Why go against? Right? That's the thing. The Krishna's concept of the social structure is natural. It's the way it actually is. Modern means we go against it. No, you can't take an artist and expect him to study Vedanta Sutra. And you can't take a Brahmin and expect him to do something else. Or the Kshatriya to do this or like that. It just doesn't work. Emergency, yes. Anybody can do anything. But in long term and be satisfied, no. Okay, so then we function like that. Okay, then, okay, now I've got all that. Okay, now how am I going to socially situate myself? Okay, that was my subsistence. That's my occupation. That's how I make my money. Okay, now where do I situate myself socially? Okay, so I'm either unmarried and studying, or I'm married, you know, and applying my occupation, or I've retired from that occupation and taking up my sadhana, or I'm preaching. So then, what's favorable? Okay, I have so many desires and all this, and I'm of the appropriate age. Okay, then we get married. No, I have these desires, but I'm young, so therefore I should study. I should prepare myself so I know how to deal at that point. Or, no, I don't need to get married, but I don't know anything. I'm going to preach or do something else, then I need to educate myself. Or, okay, I'm, you know, past that age, okay, been there, done that. Okay, so then I should get into study, shastra, that, helping others, guiding others, you know, get into my sadhana. So then something is chosen, and then one just functions. Then one has a social position, one has something, one knows how to engage everything in one's life. Otherwise, one spends oneself time just trying to find oneself. Right? That's the modern thing. Find yourself. We already know who we are. Right? That's the first thing when people walk in the door. You're not this body. Right? You're serving a Krishna. Okay, found. Okay, now what? So then you move on. But the materialists are always trying to find themselves. Do I exist? Do I not exist? Does this world exist? You know, there's that thing. If a tree falls in a forest and no one is there, does it make any sound? Right? This is one of the things that keeps the Buddhists busy, right? Right? Christians keep themselves busy. How many angels can dance on the head of a pin? You know? You know, since they're unlimited, we could put unlimited, but at the same size as there's limited space. So then, like this. Because they don't know. They don't want to know. Right? So if it didn't make any sound because I wasn't there to hear it, then who's in control? Right? It means me. Something makes sound only because I'm there to hear it. It can't make any sound if I'm not there to hear it. You know, just like my neighbors, right there. If I wasn't there in the house, them next door putting on their hi-fi at full blast, it wouldn't make any sound. So I'm really benefiting by being in my house so they can make the noise. like that. And then because of this, then I can call them up and inform them of their duty, how they should make it quieter. Like that. So in all around, I'm benefiting them. So these are all just aspects of control. Right? So the Buddhists have taken it to the extreme. Like that. No one else can function without me. Right? The impersonalists, well, we all function together. Right? But there it's like, you know, without we can't. So it's, we see if we look into it, it's just all these things are just different mistakes in one's identity, one's goals, and one's methods. That's all. If there's a problem, it means there's a problem either in your identity, in your method, or your goal. Otherwise, there can't be. If it's connected to Krishna, there is no problem. Right? Because the material energy just works that way. Right? So if you know the material energy, you work with it. Right? Someone who doesn't know horses has a problem with horses. Someone who knows horses doesn't have any problems. Right? Someone who knows cooking doesn't have any problems. Someone who doesn't, does. Right? One may say, no, but problems come up, but it's not a problem for them. It gets too hot. You take the karai off. You know, it stops smoking. You put it back on. Right? But the other person, it gets too much, then they take it off, and then they leave. It gets too cold, and then it's always problems. The other person, they just see it coming. They start to see the smoke. They move it. It's just something you do. So the problem is part of the thing, because you're dealing in a world of problems. So what's the problem? Right? The problem is we want to say, no, there's no problems. There are always problems. But why should we deal with it? Because we want to get out of here. We want to go back to Godhead. So then to deal with it, then we have to know it. Right? So that means when we educate ourselves by the knowledge and activities that the great personalities have done, then we can cross the material energy. That's what it says. If you surrender to the lotus feet of the spiritual master, then that ocean of material existence is reduced to the size of the calf's hoof print. Right? Then that boat of those lotus feet for crossing, you're on the other shore, but it's still on this side. It's only the size of a calf's hoof print. The boat crosses both. But until you do, then it's a shoreless ocean. It means the other side is never attainable. You can't find it. But as soon as one surrenders, then the shore is right here. So that's the method. That's what's suggested. So we see, Prabhupada always said, whatever comes up, it's never bad. You know? I mean, so much bad publicity for the society, people know who we are. Then they want to know. Right? The most books on Islam ever were sold after the Twin Towers went down. Everybody wanted to know, who are these guys? You know, before that, probably a lot of people didn't even know there were such things as Muslims. It was kind of there, but then it was in the forefront. They want to know, who are these guys? So, therefore, good publicity, bad publicity. For Krishna, it's all good. Okay. Is there any questions or comments? Sure.
Sure. You're describing how for materialists there's no rest because they can't understand what's above, the spiritual. Mm-hmm. For spiritualists, in one sense, there may not be any rest as far as time to coast.
Yeah, you can't coast.
So can we see that the other side of the coin would be the spiritual plane? In another sense, it may not be rest in the sense of those things that are ever increasing. It's a positive increase, obviously.
Yeah.
But it's kind of the same mood that you can never plan, or you can never expect posting platform in the spiritual plane.
No.
It's never.
You can hear? No, I see. What I was just saying is that materialist, there's no rest because they always have to work to keep going, to keep things going. But for the spiritualist also, one could say there's no rest because everything's dynamic, ever increasing. So they're always engaged. There's no such thing as just coasting in Krishna consciousness. Prabhupada mentioned, he said there's no such thing as just staying in one place. You're either moving forward or moving backwards. There's no in between. It's just like you throw something up, it's either going up or it's coming down. You know, there's a moment where it's kind of in the middle, but that's it. Because if spiritualist coast means they're trying to enjoy the facilities that come with devotional service. It means the karmis are trying to enjoy the results of their karmic activities. So the devotee also has to be careful of that conditioned idea that I perform work, the results are mine for enjoying. You know, like you know, you see many times someone's worked very hard in a temple or place and done so much, built so much, done, you know, collected money, done things, made devotees. Then there's a sense of ownership. So if anything comes in the way of that, you know, like someone else comes in that's junior to them and they become the administrator, then there's this sense of, hey, what about me? You know? So there's, one always has to be careful of that idea to enjoy the results of spiritual activity. Because it's an activity, it will give result. That's the way Krishna created it. Activity gives result. It means you have an identity, you have a goal. By performing an activity, you attain that goal. Right? Based on your identity. It's just the way the cosmic creation works, spiritual and material. So, spiritual activities also give results. So then, but the point is, in the spiritual world, they don't want to enjoy them. Everything is for Krishna. Like that. Though they have all opulence, as said, Prabhupada always says that the servant enjoys the same as the king. Has the same, but it's not his. As soon as he says it's his, he's thrown out. But as long as he's the servant of the king, then all he does is spend all day in the palace and dealing with all the finest of things and eating the remnants of the finest of food and getting the leftovers of the finest of clothes. And I mean, it's like he doesn't get any better, but he's a servant, right? Another kshatriya, or another big landlord, he buys his own clothes, new, the best, but they're still not as good as the king's, right? But the king only wears them because they're constantly making. How long does he wear? He doesn't wear it until it's threadbare. Then that goes to his servants. So that means the servant has better clothes than that independent, so-called independent king or landlord. So that's the whole, that's the point. But at the same time, we try to enjoy that, it's not there. That's the thing. You want it, it disappears. You don't want it, it's there. So if we can adjust to that single point, then the process becomes so much more easier. But we want to get it and have it. No, only Krishna can do that. Because it is Him. Right? Him and His opulences are non-different. So He is the source of His opulences, therefore He has opulence. Does that make sense? You know, the generator has electricity. It's just automatic. But electricity doesn't have electricity. As soon as the electricity disconnects from the generator, there's no electricity. So that's the thing, is we want to enjoy the opulence, but we're not the source of it, so we are not the shelter of opulence. So, factually, we can't enjoy opulence separate from the enjoyer of opulence. Because Krishna is opulence, he can enjoy it. We can only enjoy it what's connected to him. As soon as he's left out that moment, it doesn't exist anymore. It may be there, but you can't enjoy it. Right? You get the thing, but you can't enjoy it. You know, you have it, there's the potential you could enjoy it, but you still can't enjoy it. You know, it's not like the miser, he has the money, he could enjoy it, but he doesn't. Right? He dies because, you know, of lack of money to pay his medical bills. So he's got millions in the bank. Right? Because he won't spend it. Right? If he'd only paid, you know, 10,000, you know, rupees, they could have saved him. But he's such a miser. Because why should I waste my money on medicine? I should, you know, use it on something else more enjoyable. So the thing is, you can't be had. So if that's understood, then it goes nice. So the devotee coasting means he's trying to enjoy what's there. Or just sit back. I've done enough. I did it. But what we did, Krishna did. We desired and Krishna arranged it. He allowed us to be the instrument. You know? So that's the thing, is that when something's active, it's enjoyable. When it's not, it's not. Right? If you have something that's useful, it can be enjoyed. If it's not useful, it's unenjoyable. Right? So that's why you can't let anything, you have to maintain things. Because then they're enjoyable. Right? So Vishnu is in charge of maintenance. Because what is maintained, what is enjoyable, is for him. What is destroyed or what's created, someone else can have that. Right? To have created it, you know, what's the big deal? It's the maintaining it. Right? Anything is short to create, long time to maintain. That's where the effort is. That's the thing, is that one has to know that. Because otherwise, if something's created but it's not enjoyed, it will be considered useless. And since we can't enjoy separate from Krishna, it means it has to be engaged in Krishna's service. Then it's actually being enjoyed. Because it's enjoyed by Krishna, therefore, it's enjoyed by us. So that's the science. It's just the way it is. But we're very stubborn. That no, there must be this some loophole that I can still be, you know, God. I can still enjoy it. I can still. So that's what's there in the last part of Anartha Nivritti. It's called Karanga Rangini. Is trying to enjoy the facilities of devotional service that come. Because when you perform devotional service, there is opulence. So when devotees complain that someone's opulent, that means they're impersonalists. Because devotional service gets opulence. You know? That's like trying to say Krishna doesn't have any opulence. Krishna's devotional service doesn't have opulence. Right? So that's the point. It doesn't come by some other method. Right? You say, okay, senior man, why does he have so much opulence? That senior man now, who's just another guy in the street, what opulence does he have? Right? Does that make sense? You take any of the big, big guns who are Mr. Opulence, what do they got now? Nothing. I mean, nothing. Because that's just according to their karma what they'd have. If they hadn't been devotees, they wouldn't be any different than what they are right now. But, so that opulence that was there, that's devotional service. And because they were so absorbed, therefore they had the most opulence. So the problem's not the opulence. The problem is enjoying the opulence. Opulence is used in the Lord's service. That's what opulence is for. And if you can't handle opulence, then let me give you a tip. Don't go to the spiritual world. All it is opulence. That's it. You know, from top to bottom. Every last grain of dust is opulence. Right? Every grain of dust in Vrindavan is Chintamani. That means all the opulence of Vaikuntha comes out of, you know, one of those grains of dust. So that's definitely not the place you want to go. You know? So it's the enjoyment of it. It's why is it they're enjoying? I want to enjoy. Why do they have? Rather than opulence has to be there, but let's see that it's engaged nicely. You know? So that is the question. So then what happens? Opulence goes. To get rid of opulence means you have to get rid of service. So even the materialists won't use that as a solution. Right? You really got to not know how the material energy uses to use that one as a solution. Right? Yes. Is that okay?
Yeah.
question of yours, can we use that as a yardstick for how advanced the body is then?
Not opulence, whether it's a sign of advancement, not necessarily. It may be one of the things. The main thing is what you look at is knowledge and detachment. That's better. That's one. Prabhupada gives once. It's there. It's just automatic and devotional service. So from that, you can understand devotional service is going on. You know, like that. Because devotional service is there, that opulence is there. And because others are appreciating the devotional service, maybe they're giving it all to that one God. But so service is going on. So it is a yardstick. Opulence must always be, is always respected. It's one of the symptoms of respect, influence, opulence, knowledge, fame, beauty. These are all, they're all mundane, but these are points of respect. Even in the Vaishnava culture, these must be respected. You have a state minister come, he has to be respected because he has influence. You have, you know, big business magnate come, he's respected because he has opulence. You know, a very famous celebrity comes, they're respected because they have opulence. Of course, comparatively speaking to Krishna and the devotees, they're nothing. But still, on the social platform, on the platform of etiquette, then the devotees respect. It's just part of etiquette. Otherwise, you don't respect them, they don't respect you. It's just the way it goes. You respect someone, they respect you back. It's neutral. Like that. So, therefore, it's a sign that devotional service is going on, and it's a point of respect. But generally, you take how much are they absorbed in Krishna. You know, what they do, is it based on Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra? You know, how much of the, you know, day, how much are they absorbed? Is it 24 hours? Is it, you know, less? Like that. These are the symptoms. The knowledge of Krishna consciousness, their detachment from the material energy. Faith. Faith is a very big point. You know, what is their faith? So you can see, even sometimes these devotees who don't look like they're not very practically engaged or that. But their faith in Prabhupada is like unshakable. So therefore, it's symptomatic that these people are advanced. But they have a weakness in this area, right? It means 100% is 100%. 90% is 90%. It means 10% is not full. So that 10% could be anywhere. So somebody's 10%, you know, of their weaknesses in their renunciation. Someone else is in their knowledge. Someone else is in this. Someone else is in that. So generally we tend to judge, you know, others' spiritual life by our yardstick. You know, for us then, you know, sadhana is the thing. So someone who's not following sadhana can't be advanced. Even though by other symptoms they're very advanced, but maybe that area is weak. You know, or someone else, it's something, their knowledge. You know, they're just so dedicated, but they don't have a great amount. They just know. You know, like that Brahmin, Lord Chaitanya. He couldn't even read. He's looking at the book upside down. Everyone's laughing, calling him Pandit. Lord Chaitanya asked him, well, what are you reading? He says, well, actually, I don't know how to read, but they all tell me I'm, you know, as a Brahmin, I'm supposed to know, I'm supposed to study the Shastra, so I'm sitting here. So he says, so, what do you know? And he says, actually, I don't know anything. All I know is that the love of Krishna is so great that he'll come and serve his devotee like Krishna is driving the chariot of Arjuna. So then Lord Chaitanya embraced him, said, you are the greatest Pandit. You're a greater Pandit than any of these big guys, all the Sanskritists. So we see is that those aspects are there. So he's weak on knowledge. What we take as mundane knowledge is what the qualities you mentioned before are mundane qualities. But spiritual realization is beyond everybody. So everybody may have their weakness here and there. So one has to, that's why Vaishnavas have to be Brahmani. And then, therefore, it's necessary, the closer you want the community, or the broader you want the community, then there must be a common standard by which to judge what is advanced or not, what is opulence, what is proper use, what is... There has to be a standard. There must be something. So then, to create that standard, then that has to come from the Lord. Yeah? Then it's, you know, opulence is there, it doesn't matter. Prabhupada said there was no problem. He says you get $1 million, then in the... by evening, then you're a pauper because you've spent it all on Krishna. So spending so much opulence on Krishna is not a problem. You know, that's not the problem. So that's not a fault. It's then, is it spent on Krishna? So spent on Krishna, some is not. Okay, we have a conch building. That money was spent on Krishna. Now some bottles of skin conditioner bought from the body shop may be up for discussion whether that was spent on Krishna or not. Right? So, if you put the two on the scale, 1 crore rupees and 400 rupees. So then, which way does the scale balance? So now we go, okay, this is good service. Now maybe you can work on that. But if you take some other modern things, you know, contemporary modern ideas, oh, then the person's thrown out for the 400 rupees. Someone may say, well, it was more than 400 rupees. It was more than a crore. That's one project. So like this, therefore community means you have a common set of standards, and because of that, then you can judge. Otherwise, if everybody makes up their own standard, there's no community. There's no community. So that's the meaning of community. You know, so I mean, unless we come up with a new writer or dictionary, but that's what the dictionary says. Community means a group of persons that have a common set of values. Like that. That's how you call them a group. Right? They have a common set of values. Is that okay? Did you get anywhere? No. Which one? Oh, you didn't understand it. It's too vague. Some understood it very well, some didn't catch it. For dealing with people like you, generally, how do you say? Offering respects, how do you say? Guhyam akriti prichati. Revealing the mind. Let's see. Offering gifts. Preaching the glories. Let's see. What else do we do? Following example. No, I'd say these are all the things that we do ourselves in relation to you. Like that. He said, what to do with someone like you? Like that. So that's, I mean, that's what I would do. I mean, others may have others, but depending upon their position, then they can choose how they deal. You know, someone like the TKG might get on your case. That's his position. Think about that. Is that okay? Yeah. Otherwise, ask your brother. Maybe you could give some sagacious advice. Or you already tried that. Okay, so then we'll end here.
Gantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivrinda ki, Jainatai Gaura Premarandi.